Well, good morning to you all.
Good morning.
I want to introduce the subject this morning of spiritual gifts. And I would like to read with you first, if I may, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and at verse 13. 1 Corinthians 12 and at verse 13. Now, it's good to remember that the verb here is in the past tense. So it's something that has already taken place. For by one Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, for by one Spirit have we all been baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, would you look back at verse 11? Speaking of the various gifts, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame gift, dividing every man severally as he will. And then back to verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, in Romans chapter 12, I'm picking up just certain verses at the moment. I will be dealing with these passages in greater detail as we move along. But I want to just point out some particular verses in these sections at this time. Verse 4 of chapter 12 of Romans says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith." Now to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, reading at verse 7. "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." And finally, in 1 Peter chapter 4. Now it's interesting to note that there are 16 references by the Apostle Paul to spiritual gifts. The only other reference to the subject is found in 1 Peter chapter 4, reading at verse 10. "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." May the Lord bless to us this reading from His Word. This morning we're going to think first of all of the explanation, what is the meaning of spiritual gifts. I was very interested to read what Webster's Dictionary said concerning this. Now, that's hardly the place that you would go for a definition of a theological position. But I noted it down, and this is what Webster's Dictionary says. "A spiritual gift is an extraordinary power given a Christian by the Holy Spirit for the good of the church." Nothing wrong with that, is there? Yeah. Now, I think that we've got to consider spiritual gifts in three different ways. First of all, we've got to think of spiritual gifts in relation to the three gifts of God mentioned in Romans 5, 15 and 16, and again in Romans 6, verse 23. 6:23 is perhaps more familiar to us than chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, where we read of the free gift. Again, of course, it is the free gift in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now that is the word The very same word that is used in respect to spiritual gifts. The Greek term is a familiar expression to us, charisma. Now charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, is of course the word for grace. So what we are thinking of all the way through are gifts of grace. Now the first initial and essential gift is, of course, the gift of eternal life. And we can't think of any spiritual gift except and until we have experienced and accepted the blessing of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, in witnessing to Roman Catholics, I've always found that the emphasis on the grace of God and the fact that eternal life is a free gift is always the best approach. Because they've got this concept so firmly in their minds that they have got to do something, work or pay, some effort on their part. And it's so wonderful when finally they're able to enter in with a full understanding of the fact that it is a free gift. Father Chiniquy, as you know, wrote the book 50 Years in the Church of Rome, and the emphasis there is upon the gift. Now, it's used again to demonstrate a special gift of grace for specific needs. There are three references to this. There are more, but there are three that I would like to mention just in passing. In Romans 1, verse 11, Paul speaks of going to Rome in order that he might impart to them a spiritual gift, so that they might be strong and become established, and that thus they would be mutually encouraged. Now this was a special gift of grace that he wanted to bring to them, so that they would become strong in the Lord, and be able to be more effective in their work and witness for him. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, we read that either singleness or marriage is, again, a gift of grace. Brother Martin was telling us this morning what late Mr. A.C. Gibbs said concerning remaining single. And it reminded me of what happened many years ago in the Shetland Islands. I said to this man, who everyone said was a confirmed bachelor, I said, David, why have you never got married? And he said, came from the Orkney Islands, and they have a kind of lilt. He said, the desirable were unattainable, and the obtainable were undesirable. This past August, I was at Guelph Bible Conference. There was a fellow there with a name tag, and his name was Marwick, the same name as the man that I just referred to. And I thought, well, perhaps got no connection at all, but at least I'll have a try. I said, Marwick. I said, I knew Marwick in the Orkney Islands. He said, that's where my folks come from. Well, I said, there was a man called David Marwick. And, he said, that was my uncle. And I quoted what he said. This fellow, I suppose, is in his late 40s. And he said, well, I'm not married either for the same reason. And what he used to say, when I was single, my pockets did jingle, I wish I were single again. Singleness can be a spiritual gift, and marriage is also referred to as a spiritual gift. Each of us receiving our proper gift from God. Then in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 11, Paul speaks of intercessory prayer being a spiritual gift. That is, he recognized the importance of prayer for protection, not only for himself, but for his colleagues. And he speaks appreciatively of the prayers of others on his behalf, and he says these intercessory prayers are really spiritual gifts. However, what of course we think of most of the time in regard to spiritual gifts are the spiritual capacity and ability for service given to us by God. And there are three key lists in the New Testament on this particular subject. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians chapter 4. Now, we must never confuse these spiritual gifts that every believer in Christ has received with either spirituality or the fruit of the Spirit. You see, the impression that sometimes we get is if we just had that particular spiritual gift, then we're going to reach an all-time high in our spiritual experience. But that is not the equation. We must distinguish between spirituality, or the fruit of the Spirit, and the gift of the Spirit. Now you remember that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and in the first chapter of the first epistle, chapter 7, he said, "You are not lacking in any gift." Now obviously the church in Corinth possessed all these gifts. Question: was it known to be a really spiritual church? The answer is definitely no. Unfortunately, the opposite was the case. So possessing all the gifts did not make the church spiritual. Now, I wonder if you've noticed that 1 Corinthians 13 comes out right in between chapters 12 and 14. Have you noticed that? That's very significant because we have a real bridge there. In chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, it deals with the subject of spiritual gifts. And then we have still more details in chapter 14. But you'll remember that right in between, Paul says, supposing you have all the gifts and have not love, ye have nothing. Avails nothing. So you can be so gifted that people may admire you and appreciate what you do, but if love is lacking, it is without any profit at all. Love is the most essential fact. And in dealing with a subject like this, we must always keep that in mind. Because you may have friends, and I certainly have friends, who do not agree with what I believe in regard to spiritual gifts. When we disagree, we should never be disagreeable. Many of these dear people really love the Lord, are sincere and earnest Christians. I do not doubt this for a moment. I've had prolonged discussions. I refuse to have arguments, but I will always be happy to go to the Word of God and see what the Bible really teaches on this subject. And I have talked to people who are known to be Pentecostalists, or the more modern term is charismatic, and really, strictly speaking, all of us are charismatic. In the real Bible sense of the term, it's unfortunate that we have used the term only for people who have believed in a certain way in regard to these gifts. But from about 1960 onwards, the term charismatic became quite popular. All right. So that love is essential. Then there's one other thing I would like to say here, and it is that spiritual gifts are not natural talents. Now, a natural talent can be used in conjunction with a spiritual gift. If, for instance, you have a musical ability, you can use that in connection with the spiritual gift. It's a great blessing if you're able to do that. I was born with drums in my ears, and I played in the linoleum when I was only a few months old. But I must confess that I don't know music at all, not a note of it. I admire people with that ability. And in one of our lecture series at the Washington Bible College, normally we had a pianist on hand for an opening hymn. Then this particular occasion, there was no pianist appeared. So I said to the people that had gathered, is anyone willing to play the piano for us? A lady got up and she said, I'm willing, but I'm not able. It taught me a lesson to be much more specific when I asked a question like that. I was also quite willing, but I wasn't able either. However, we finally found someone who was both willing and able. That talent can be used in conjunction with a spiritual gift. Or artistic skills can be most effective in many different types of ministry. And open-air preachers are using this extensively today to attract people to come and listen to the gospel as they draw sketches on a sketchboard. Now there again, I'm sorry to have to admit that I don't have that talent. But if you have, thank God for it and use it in conjunction with your spiritual gift. Now, every truly born-again Christian is a member of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13 made that perfectly plain. Every born-again Christian is a member of the body of Christ. When people say, I'm not a member of the church, that can mean something, or it may really not mean what they intended it to mean. Because the church, the body of Christ, includes all believers. Everywhere. And we note that the Holy Spirit baptizes every believer into the body of Christ. Now, will you note that the baptism by the Spirit never relates to power, but to position? Now, we get that clear in our minds, it will help us a lot in understanding the teaching so far as spiritual gifts are concerned. Baptism by the Spirit places us into the body of Christ. It makes us one with Christ. And it makes us one with every other believer in Christ. Racial and social distinctions are totally ruled out when we think in terms of the body of Christ. We're all one in Christ Jesus. And in 1 Corinthians 12:13, we note that we are not only baptized by the Spirit and placed into the body of Christ, but we are all made to drink of one Spirit, that is, the Holy Spirit indwells every believer. Because the very moment that we put our trust in Christ, that moment we were placed into the body of Christ by the baptism, through the Spirit. And the very moment that we were born again, we were indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 verse 9 says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So that every believer has been baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ, every believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Now we didn't pray for the baptism by the Spirit. We didn't pray that the Holy Spirit would come and dwell within us. But the very moment that we put our trust in Christ, our bodies become the temples in which the Holy Spirit dwells. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Every member of the body of Christ has received one or more spiritual gifts. Now we read of this in Romans chapter 12. verses 5 and 6. Everyone, it said, but not necessarily having the same gift. 1 Corinthians 12:7, given to everyone. Verse 11 of the same chapter, dividing to everyone severally as he will. 1 Peter 4:10, as everyone hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. Every member of the body of Christ has received one or more spiritual gifts. That is, in addition to the gift of eternal life. Every member of the body of Christ is dependent upon the head, the Lord Jesus Christ, and is directed by him for the glory of God. Colossians 1 verse 18 says, and he, that is Christ, is the head of the body, the church. So there we have a wonderful picture of the body. Christ the head, and each believer in Christ, member of his body. And as members, each of us has therefore a function to fulfill. Every member of the body of Christ functions in conjunction with the other members for the good of the body as a whole. Now the foot doesn't complain that it can't take a knife and fork within its contents. It has another function to perform. And Paul portrays this very beautifully in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Where he points out that each of us has one or more gifts from the Lord, and that we have to use that gift or those gifts, first of all for the glory of the Lord, and then for the benefit, for the upbuilding, the strengthening of the body as a whole. Now a very interesting study in the New Testament is to study the expression one another. You go through the New Testament and see how frequently those words occur. It will be very illuminating and I think also very encouraging to show how each of us is dependent upon the other, all being directed and controlled by the head. But we work in coordination as the body must do to function properly. So we work in a cooperative, in a coordinate way, so that the body may be healthy and strong. And this, of course, is proved in respect to the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:16 says, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So you see, you're much more important than you really thought you were now, aren't you? You're important to the Lord. But you're also important to the other members of the body, because we all need one another. Dr. E.T. Pearson wrote on spiritual gifts, and I noted down what he said, because I was very impressed by this paragraph. Quoting from Dr. A.T. Pearson, here is what he said. Everyone has some gift, therefore all should be encouraged. No one has all the gifts, therefore all should be humble. All gifts are of the one body, therefore all should be harmonious. All gifts are from the Lord, therefore all should be contented. All gifts are mutually helpful and needful, therefore all should be studiously faithful. All gifts promote the health and strength of the whole body, therefore none can be safely dispensed with. All gifts depend upon his fullness for power, therefore all should keep in close touch with him, even with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And here endeth the lesson for this morning. It is 1 minute to ten, time to pray and to close, and that's it for now. To be continued. Let us pray. Our Father, we do thank Thee for the wonderful provision that Thou hast made for us. It overwhelms us again and again as we think of Thy perfect plan, and how this plan has been working out down through the years. Lord, we confess again and again how utterly inadequate we are, but we know that we can draw strength continually from the head, and that we can be guided and directed by Him, so that we may be able to function for His glory and for the good of the body as a whole. We commend ourselves now to Thee with much thanksgiving in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.